Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 214, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Friday, December 10th, 2021, which of course means that it is Dewey Decimal System Day, the day in which we appreciate the days my elementary school education devoted to learning the Dewey Decimal System, 100%. Which, you know, I've used every single day since.
It's, you know, it's also Nobel Prize Day, but I feel really, though, we need to remind for the elders who listen to the show that it is Dewey Decimal System Day, because that, who didn't fucking grow up having to learn how to use a card catalog or pretending to know how to use a card catalog?
Do we think they're, like, they probably don't teach that anymore, right? That's like, that's gone the way of cursive as like just something they no longer have to teach and teach.
I have
young people.
I've not set foot in an academic context facility anything since 2007. So right. I know in 2007 they were like, "Hey, y'all need to know how to use a research library."
Right,
and there is some Dewey doo doo going on there, but
Dewey doo doo.
Yeah.
Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, aka Magnum P. Zeit. That is courtesy of Diogenes the Critic. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Oh, you know who it is. It's just your favorite stoner from North Hollywood, and you know him as the one and only Hideo Noho, because he's twisting up that fucking backwoods like Hideo's windup. Shout out to me for not looking at Discord. There you go. Buying an AK. But you know what it is?
I do know what it is.
It's Friday.
Mm-hmm. And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very funny stand-up comedian, writer, podcaster, producer, one of our all-time favorite TDZ guests. You've seen her on MTV, E, Comedy Central. Her stand-up album, Opinion Cave, debuted at number one on iTunes, and her podcast, Lady to Lady, is just one of the best out there. She's performed everywhere from a basement in Kentucky to the stages of the Kennedy Center. Please welcome the brilliant, the talented Brandi Posey!
Brandi! Oh, shit. Blah, 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 everybody.
What's happening?
Thank you. I love hearing my credits read to me before noon. It feels nice.
Yeah.
Start your day with that.
Yeah. Can I tell you guys, while you were talking about the Dewey Decimal System, I looked it up, and it was invented by a man named Melvin Dewey, which is the cutest name in the world.
And it's really cute.
It's really, my name is Melvin Dewey, and
it's
I
like
catalog
a cartoon
books.
Duck or something. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And on like on the Wikipedia page, it has like the history, and it has like 1873 to 1885 early development, period of adoption 1885 to 1894, and then 1942 to present, forging an identity. So it's just trying to figure out who it is now in a post in a post world where we don't need them anymore. It's very
going
adorable.
Through a little midlife crisis, and then we'll descend into irrelevance. You know,
yeah,
some still use it though. Some still use it, and other libraries are starting to argue that there maybe it's time for a change.
Mm. Yeah,
God, I think there's Melvin
Can you imagine how mad you would be as like a librarian that have been using it and like committed it to memory for 40 years of your career?
Oh, yeah.
And then they're Google comes in and you're like, excuse me? That's like that's like taxi drivers that used to know the city in their head. And then Google Maps showed up and they're like, I know how to get around this city. How dare you? Come on,
isn't that still like a test in some cities, though? Like if you're going to like ride for the city's taxi thing, like you can't be fucking like you have to have a very solid knowledge. Or is that just something I heard in a London cab?
I think that's probably true. I know that that is true overseas in London, especially because I remember when Uber went over there, they were like, no, we've learned the way that the city looks. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that was like the biggest thing that they're like, don't use Uber. They don't know the city like we do. And I'm like, you know, facts, honestly. I'd rather have somebody who would instinctively be like, I will go down this wrong one way to get you there quicker.
And there's something about there's like some neurological study or like study of the brains of London cab drivers, and like something about that job and like having to know all those paths like makes them some of the like best at, I don't know, mental mapping, I guess.
Okay. All
you know what? I am just realizing I had always assumed that the Dewey Decimal System was created by whoever Dewey from the Dewey Defeats Truman headline was, because they were both from the days where everything was in black and white, and apparently not the case.
Older than that.
So, you know.
Still interested in it?
Am I still interested in the Dewey Decimal System?
Despite it not having those origins that you thought it did?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, you know, I just feel like the last name Dewey has fallen off. Like, we don't have very many famous Deweys. And they were the history was lousy with them.
I'd like to see more in the new century.
Yeah, come on, Dewey. Yeah. Dewey, last name, step up.
We need a revival.
Brandy, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment.
Okay.
First, a couple of things we're talking about today. The Ghislaine Maxwell prosecution has rested. Brandy, I know that's something that you've been keeping an eye on. So we're just going to check in with you on like, what does that mean?
You've been watching.
We're going to talk about the latest quote unquote attack on Kamala Harris. We will, of course, be talking about the biggest news story in America right now. Fox News's Christmas tree hate crime. You know, the attack
begun.
On our freedom. All of that, plenty more. But first, Brandy, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Assisted suicide. I was Googling that this morning.
Okay.
Oh, because of that. Because Swiss of that.
So did you guys see the Switzerland, the 3D capsule that they just came out with?
Yeah. I remember we covered it like when the guy had first debuted it like a few years ago and was saying like this could be something to be used for assisted suicide. And then this week it was approved, right, in Switzerland for use?
Yeah, it looks like it's approved. It's really futuristic and kind of beautiful and like does feel like a thing that future people would kill themselves in.
Right.
And it looks like a tanning bed that you can just like wheel around and you look out into the world and you can put it in a nice field and then just die. None of the articles that I have seen about it say that when you die, you also shit yourself. So you're shitting yourself in like a beautiful capsule in the middle of a field. And I feel bad for whoever has to deal with that afterwards, but it won't be your problem anymore. So.
Well, I think at that point, if you've decided that you need that way to lessen your burden, then maybe shitting yourself is the least of your worries.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Somebody else's problem. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Somebody's like, you actually don't qualify to be using this machine. It's like, no, I just really kind of want to shit in it, to be honest.
Yeah, change my mind.
wait, I'm shitting. It's too late, sir.
So I'm actually not familiar with this. Well, I guess I am because we covered it a couple years ago. But like, what's the service the pod provides? Is just like sensory deprivation or something while you're
down? No, so it is. It releases like nitrogen as it also decreases the oxygen very quickly. So you lose consciousness, but there's also like a feeling of euphoria and relaxation. So you're not choking or anything.
Oh, That does sound kind of nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm in.
Called it the Sarco machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I saw it on Twitter. I saw people being like, oh, yeah. And I was like, let me go read about this. And I just,
yeah.
We're just 3D printing everything at this point. We're 3D printing coffins and guns and heart valves. I mean, who knew the printer was going to have this kind of a revolution and a renaissance in this part of the 21st century?
Well, yeah. And it also, you know, it's also part of this larger discussion about your right to die and what you should be able to access or experience as you go into your final stages of life. Because so many, you know, a huge push has been around like psychedelics and how that's really helped people with terminal illnesses come to sort of grips and begin to have a feeling of acceptance around their, you know, but their end of life scenario. But absolutely. Then you have like, you know, municipalities where they're like, what, you're going to arrest like an 80-year-old person who's like dying because they did mushrooms? Like, what are we doing here exactly? Yeah. So this is all just, part of this new, I think, just very necessary discussion that we've been not having for many years.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because it's like if we remove the fear of death from people, like death means like going to hell or heaven to so many people that are religious too, then it's also like, how are we able to control the masses and make them keep giving money and keep them, you know, supplicant in so many different ways too? So it's an extremely empowering thing to give people the possibility to.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, 3D printers could solve like most of the world's problems, but unfortunately the ink is too expensive.
Yeah.
Printer joke for anybody who's ever had a printer.
These damn refills keep running out.
What's something you think is overrated?
Being a good bowler.
Oh shit.
And I also think being underrated is being a bad bowler. I think it's
okay.
I think it's fun to go and see people just be shitty at a bowling alley.
Yes.
And when you show up with like your little glove and you got your little leg doing your little thing, everyone's just having fun and seeing their friends. We don't need you like to have your whole rig here.
Right.
Yeah.
Just coming in being like, who do you think you are? I am.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the important thing is that you celebrate, is that you learn beat for beat that guy's celebration, and then you do it every time that you roll, even when it's a straight gutter.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I went bowling last night for the first time in, I mean, literally years. And to my left, there was like several very serious people who like would also like stop and like very annoyingly wait for like me to go because God forbid two of us roll a ball at the same time or something.
Yeah, you're fucking up my approach.
Yeah. And then to my right were the two most adorable like little like queer high school goths that were just like bowling so badly and like their arms were so thin and frail they could barely get the ball down the aisle.
Broken wrist every roll.
Yes. And I was like, they're having a delightful time. They're eating. They're like, a bowling alley is about eating a plate of like cold French fries and drinking some. It's the only place that you can drink something out of a styrofoam cup in 2021, I think.
Right.
You know? Right. And yeah, I just was
like with CFCs
yes.
in them. Like they're like, I didn't even know they made styrofoam with CFCs anymore. I thought we stopped that in the 80s and 90s.
That nope, they're nope.
not a boarding alley. Boarding port.
Stockpiled at the old
alley.
Bowling alley.
Yeah, I'm terrible at bowling. So I embrace the shitty bowling fun of bowling because.
Yeah.
Like I just go for all kinds of shit. Like I don't know any technique.
Mm-mm.
I will use sometimes in a panic, I'll try and like watch a YouTube video before and be like, why am I always fucking up? Like, and I realize my release is always across my body.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always throwing it into the gutter.
Yeah.
So like the thing I'm always having to remember is just that straight release. But even then, I just don't give a fuck after a while. And I'm just being like, let me see how fucking hard I can throw this shit down and see if I can get anything to happen.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's
crossing
just like
lanes.
Do a little granny bowl from time to time. I like to throw it down and then turn around and not look at it and then know that it's going to be a gutter
Steph
ball.
Curry that shit. Just, yeah.
Yeah. It just feels real nice to lean into it. Embrace your failure, baby. It's good.
Yeah.
Just roll it, turn around like you just already knew. You fucking threw a strike and do the who do you think you are? I am.
Right. You're doing that shit from like the opening scene in Kingpin where like Woody Harrelson is doing like a split like right before it hits the pins and he's like, yeah.
Perfect. Exactly. That's what I want to see at a bowling alley. I want to see unearned hubris.
Right. were bowling alley, like bowling birthday parties, like pretty normal for everybody in like the 90s, right? I felt like that was always like a very standard type of birthday. And that was probably the birthdays that caused me the most anxiety because like
more there than are a pool kids. Party?
No, no, no. I don't give a fuck about a pool party.
Wow.
Have you seen Miles? Come on.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you seen me? I had a doughy body since childhood, and I wasn't really buying into these body image shit. So I was just I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna wear this scuba mask and stay at the bottom of the pool and freak the parents out. But the at a bowling thing, because I remember just like being more competitive as a kid, and there was always like those couple kids who are really good, and then like you start being like, why can't I fucking roll it like Brandon does?
Always named Brandon. Yeah. Did I ever tell the story on here about when I got like too high and I got into this like weird mental block? I was bowling and I was really trying to do good bowling and I just couldn't get it to even like the first set of arrows. Like it would go directly into the thing. It was like I had like some alien limb syndrome that was just like really bad at bowling. It was a real mind fuck.
Oh man. Damn.
Everybody.
Were you just like after the third one you're like, come on,
like sweating, like I don't know what's happening. I'm like the people like at first thought I was joking, and then it was one of those like, it was the weirdest like physical kind of experience I've ever had, because I was just, you know, I'm not normally very good at bowling. But it was just a very strange thing. It was like a Chuck Knoblauch moment, or like, you know, where a Markel Fultz, I guess, would be the more modern.
Gil Hodges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go even further back.
Man, I just remember the first bowling party that we went to as kids that like, I think it was everybody's first time without the bumpers. And we just all failed. We were like, why? Bring the bumpers back. You're like third graders or something. Just like learning about how cruel the world can actually be for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I had the opposite of you. When I was like at the height of my like drug use in college, I never had better bowling games than those times.
Yeah, I mean, like, me too. Like or when I was like drunk. Like that's why I assumed that I would have been like, for most of my life I was just better when I was drunk or smoking weed, but this time was just like it was very weird. I couldn't steer out of it.
Yeah, I would just, I don't know what it was, but I think I quite literally had to go out of body chemically to be able to bowl just in a straight line. But there were some epic ones. I remember at Lucky Strike in Hollywood, I was fucked up. And I fucking almost, I rolled like a 250 or some shit.
Yeah.
Like, what, I never really? Even gotten it was wild. People were like, yo. And like, meanwhile, like, I was spilling drinks on myself and shit.
Wow.
But there was something about that, like, the music, like, you know, like rock and roll bowling type shit where, like, there's music to turn up to. It just helped me find another gear.
Yeah, yeah.
But luckily, I've realized not as important to me. So I've managed to throttle back the drug use.
Mm. All right. Let's take a quick break. We're going to come back, talk about Ghislaine Maxwell and other stories. We'll be right back.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and Ghislaine Maxwell's prosecution has rested. We've been checking in with the story every once in a while, but haven't been like kind of following it on a day-to-day basis. But Brandy, it does sound like you've been kind of tracking it. So what does this mean?
Well, me and my roommate, every night, there's a great podcast called True Anon, if nobody's listening to it.
Yeah.
They're delightful. And me and my roommate, every night they've been dropping daily episodes, and we turn on our fake fire and we just sit and listen to the reporting from the day. And then I go and I yell at Twitter about it, which feels great. Mm. So the prosecution is rested, which feels very fast. But you have to remember that like the scope of the trial against Ghislaine is very different than what the case would be with Epstein. They're trying to go after her specifically for the trafficking charges and things like that. Like, So they can't really get into the full broad web because the further they get from her, the more doubt they can sow in the jury.
Right.
So they're being very, very focused on like they have four victims that have given testimony and have all been very moving from all reports. And they've had like corroborating witnesses to all of their stories come in and basically been like, this is how we met her. This is how we interacted with her, and trying to like place her in the minutiae of Epstein's day to day life as much as possible. So that I think is like why it went as quickly as it has for the prosecution.
Mm. Right.
The big witnesses, they had like two. They had the four witnesses, like the four victims, and then there's been two pilots that flew the Lolita Express, and then a lot of little people here and there as well that like worked in the houses and like ex-boyfriends and stuff like that. But her demeanor has changed over the course of the days. For the first few days, she was very like,
right,
like just looking around the trial and stuff. But I guess when the third victim especially gave her statement, and she was one of the lower class girl from Florida that really was in it for the money and was really manipulated a lot. I mean, they all were, but she was very much like, I don't have a family, $300 a pop. Like, I'm not here for a life, right. You know. Ghislaine had her like head down and was hiding it and stuff. So I'm hoping that, you know, her change of attitude means that she feels like she's pretty fucked.
Right.
The jury has also seen a lot of things that are redacted from public or like won't be entered into the record like publicly for people to see. And that includes a lot of videos and photos, and nobody really knows what's on those. So I think it's probably obviously horrible shit. So hopefully like that is enough to that the prosecution feels that their case has been made enough. The defense starts up, I think, next Thursday, and they have like a week off. And that is going to, I think, get very messy and very difficult to hear about because they're about to try to, you know, tear all these victims apart as hard as possible. And it's like from listening to all the coverage, it's so interesting that the way that defense attorneys are in court where they just try to like still slut shame you and all this shit. It's so crazy because it feels so hack, but it still is 100% how this shit happens.
Right.
And you're like, how? This is the only trick in your fucking book.
Yeah. I remember like just from the opening statement, that was the part I caught. And when the defense attorney came out, I was like, whoa, we're going there. Like ever since the time of Adam and Eve, women have been blamed for it. Like,
yeah.
Okay. And then like this woman was in cahoots with these other people. Mm-hmm. It really felt. But again, I guess that's the only thing you have if you're trying to, you know, by any means necessary, mm-hmm. act like you didn't do some shit that you actually did.
For sure. Well, and it feels like Ghislaine is very involved in the defense as well. Like she's like writing notes to them and which I think is ultimately going to hopefully hurt her because they haven't presented a clear argument yet. Like they're saying she's a victim as well, but also she won't let herself be seen as a victim. So it's like, well, you were involved, but you weren't involved, but Jeffrey was your boyfriend, but he was also a victim of her. So her pride is getting in the way of all of this.
Right. And then there's also, it's like she was involved, but if she was, these people are in it for the money and like they actually she's a feminist and she like deserves your sympathy. Like it's like a bunch of I feel like usually the prosecution can present a number of different like reasons for why the person might be guilty. And the defense has to be like kind of focused, I feel like. But this time it's like the defense is like, I don't know, here are like five different options. Like maybe choose one of those.
She barely like loved him and like, I don't know, like, and they're haters actually. So I don't know, jury, like whatever you want to do with that.
Exactly.
But I think it's really, at which point did she shift to mean mugging the sketch artist and then battling the sketch artist for their own, like, because that was the interesting thing I was kind of picking up on was that, I think, what was it, the end of last week, she had very much been like, I am now going to sketch the sketch artist sketching me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read an interview with that sketch artist actually on Rolling Stone because I was like, what the hell? And she said that like Ghislaine has like turned around and like talked to her and been like, lovely weather outside a few times. Like she's like, clearly, I think she's like, Ghislaine has like got weird like love addict, love bombing tendencies where she's just trying to like ingratiate people around her constantly to herself. Because apparently she like hugs and like kisses her lawyers on the cheek when she sees them every day and stuff. And it's like, very weird. She's just needs physical contact is like very important to her because she's a disgusting rapist.
Right.
But it's interesting. It's her sister and one of her brothers have been in court every day to be there watching. And she is permitted to actually talk to them before everything starts, which is something that most defendants aren't actually allowed to do, which is strange.
Wow. Already seen some benefits, huh?
Yeah. One thing that did come out yesterday that was really interesting is that like there is a new flight logs have leaked out and Ghislaine and Jeffrey were on a flight together before her dad died, which like her dad, Ghislaine Maxwell's dad is this guy named Robert Maxwell. Robert Maxwell was like a huge spy for London and like the Israeli Mossad and everything and was like very suspiciously murdered on his boat. And before he was like thrown off his boat and murdered, there's never been a connection with Jeffrey and Ghislaine beforehand, but this shows their relationship goes back even before that happened. His like a big thing that Robert Maxwell did is he kind of like moved a lot of money around and made it disappear for a lot of rich people, which is also something that Jeffrey Epstein did. So it's interesting that her dad might be how the two of them were connected in the first place, and that line has never been drawn really before.
Right. And a lot of people suspect that Mm-hmm. Epstein was, you know, a CIA operative, or at least like used by the CIA, worked with the CIA. So it makes sense that like they're all moving in the same circles, manipulating very powerful people, helping them out. Yeah, it's fucking disgusting, but hopefully, I mean, it doesn't seem like she could have come off much worse just based on the descriptions and of her in court behavior.
I don't think so. And I mean, the only thing that does make me nervous is that's like, they clearly like, they'd been putting together a case for Jeffrey Epstein forever. And then they, obviously he was murdered. And they're using the bones of that and they're putting Ghislaine in and then changing it as needed. So I think that they're really kind of hitting her from as many sides as possible. But clearly, I mean, the whole thing just, it makes it such, it's so frustrating that he's not on trial, because there's so many other things you could be talking about that would actually like help her if to talk about, but actually like should be, you know, made, entered into the public record in a very official way through his trial.
All right. Well, thank you for that update.
Very well.
And thank you for, you know, doing the sin eating for us of paying attention to that fucking trial.
Oh, don't worry. I have a pillow on my couch. I've just been like ringing and screaming at every day.
All right. Let's talk about Kamala Harris. Politico has a, I guess this is like a hit piece or something. Like,
yo, they got her ass.
Yeah.
Wow.
Canceled. Politico. Canceled.
Done.
Politico doing the fucking Lord's work of meaningless nonsense journalism. I just want to read this headline of this article that came out earlier this week. It said, Kamala Harris is Bluetooth phobic. Huh? Mm-hmm. What? Mm-hmm. What does that even mean? Like, she discriminates against Bluetooth users?
She won't has go into an exclusive a bathroom after a somebody with a Bluetooth.
Right. Does she have like an exclusive Beats by Dre deal that doesn't allow her to use non-wired headphones? Like, what is happening exactly? And this is what they say, quote, while a growing number of consumers are going wireless, the vice president is sticking with the classics. She has long felt that Bluetooth headphones are a security risk. As a result, Harris insists on using wired headphones, three former campaign aides told West Wing Playbook. Okay.
Is that so, not,
who cares?
Is that
not fit
smart?
For office? I mean, like, huh? Well, let's go on. Let me, they go, okay, that, okay. Politico's thinking, all right, that wasn't enough for you. Allow us to maybe expand on this. Former aides say that the vice president has long been careful about security and technology, with some describing it as prudent and others suggesting it is a bit paranoid. It's a recurring theme. And they talk about how when she was, oh, this is another one. And another former aide, when she was attorney general in California, said that when a person arrived for a meeting, staff were instructed not to allow them to wait in Harris's office alone.
Okay.
What the fuck is this article?
Like, this is, look, she's the new Richard Nixon. This is.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest Kamala Harris fan, as most listeners of this show know. But like, what the fuck is this exactly? What is the point? I'm really curious what the fucking quote unquote journalists who did this. Yeah. What was this piece adding? What did we need to know about this? Because they like did a collage of all these photos of her wearing like wired Apple headphones, and they're like, look at her, dude, like she's got these like wired headphones on. And I think part of it is probably some anti-black woman bias, and they're just finding some shit to just be like, fuck it, man, she hates Bluetooth. I guess that's something we can say to try and make her look different from the mainstream. But I'm not even like, I don't even, this is just so weird, because if that's, who gives a shit about what her like her priorities are around like OPSEC, like operational security? If she thinks Bluetooth, she's not comfortable with it, like, who gives a fuck? Like, I just, help me, somebody.
Also,
understand.
They're using quotes from like former aides and like staffers. What, like, I just ask like a security expert, is this like over the top or not?
They
like,
don't. Because it is true. You can be hacked.
Yeah, you can
Bluetooth.
Fucking be hacked. Like,
for sure.
Yeah. What also, is their point?
Has anyone met like an older person or like even an older person of color?
Yeah.
People, you know, I have aunts and uncles who have thoughts around ops, their own operational security. They're like, no, I don't use that shit. I don't like that my car, I can't use the physical key on that because you don't know what's going to happen. Like, this seems very normal to me. But again, this was just like part of a, I don't know, clickbait failure over at Politico.
I feel like after a former Secretary of State's private email server was hacked in a basement, maybe we should be a little bit more paranoid than not. Sure. Like maybe it's okay to use headphones. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Also, it's like this feels like it's either stupid or it's like weirdly nefarious because it gets to paint her because everyone knows that this is stupid. So it's also like, oh, we're attacking her unfairly for no reason. And if we're attacking her unfairly for this, then maybe real things that she is being fairly attacked for, we're also attacking her unfairly for. You know what I mean? So it gives mm-hmm. her weird cover for like, oh, everyone's just being, you know, sexist and racist towards me. And they did it for the Bluetooth stuff. So they're also doing it for, you know, X, Y, and Z.
Or like immigration stuff. Yeah. And whatever. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's like it's lose, lose all around. It's like, it's almost like clickbait journalism is destroying everything.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, like we're looking at, you know, just the most aggressive moves towards voter suppression we've seen.
Yes.
In our lived memory. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, we're devoting inches and coverage to like this Bluetooth thing, because, I mean, this is something we've talked about or just mentioned, touched on, too, is just that. This is just all like the media's huge hand in allowing all of this shit to just crumble by the wayside 100%. Because it has an inability to actually say like, hey, man, the country's really fucked up right now. And like shit's going to get fucking terrible if we don't get a hold of like just the most basic voting rights to start off with. But instead, we're talking about fucking, you know, why doesn't she have AirPods?
Yeah. And I think people like see this and it's frustrating because it tunes people out from like paying attention to the news more and more because you're like, I'm not even seeing anything real. And this is what it is. It's like I saw there's this morning there. I mean, it's unrelated to this specifically, but I saw this morning that it was like a Pfizer CEO was like, I think we're going to need the fourth shot even faster than the third one. And I was like, can we just like not talk to these people? Right. Can you just.
Yeah.
Shut the I hate the news, and it's so frustrating because it also gives like people that say all news is fake news like even more and more ammo, because I'm just like, yeah, I get where you're coming from with half of this shit, because this is a bullshit story. Get out of the way.
All news is fucking coward news.
Yes.
No one wants to fucking say the thing past go like, rather than saying like, I don't know, this fucking pharma grifter says we should give him more money. Like that's just treat that quote like that.
Yeah, and exactly.
Have a more holistic, you know, reporting around saying things like this is how much Pfizer and Moderna have made. This is how much Pfizer stands to make from their therapeutics that they're developing. There's so many other things that you can be like telling people real things while also giving them an actual accounting of what the stakes are, what the dynamics are around the story, because all they do is just give you this shit in a vacuum, no context. Mm-hmm. And if you're not paying attention, you're going to think nothing's wrong. Nothing's, gone awry at all.
Yeah. The worst thing is that Kamala doesn't use headphones that are, you know, Bluetooth.
That are
cool. The worst thing is there are people dying for their first shot of a vaccine, but we've entrusted this with just greedy fucking goblins and just only focusing like, well, yeah, in America, maybe you should get that third or fourth. Like, fucking hell.
I think there is, I truly think there's a direct line between like shit like this and the vaccine and like vaccine hesitancy because like the mainstream media is fully bought into like the whole like corporate neoliberal like ideal that is killing people, that like is making people like making us the loneliest we've ever been, like it that has completely taken over how we communicate with one another and like turned it into, you know, the most basic part of being a human being is like interacting with other human beings, and we've turned that into like a algorithmically like monitored and monetized and like manipulated thing, like so that people are going to react negatively to that. And the mainstream media just has a complete like inability to cope with that, and there is already a reactionary kind of option on the right, and so that's why like things are moving so fucking out of control in that direction, and like the left hasn't really figured out its alternative strategy.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that's why you need more independent media, and also just like for people to demand that these people actually say something that is counter to what their corporate benefactors dictate to them.
Right.
Like, it's that you can't, it's like, because you already know, like, we already know that if on MSNBC they said, we need to actually be breaking down how much money is being made and, like, also put people in the front of their mind, because the most important thing about getting through this pandemic globally is to have as many people inoculated as possible.
Yeah. Right.
But if we're not hammering home that that's a problem, and that mm-hmm. there's corporate greed, national, there's like this weird nationalistic fucking greed that's happening with who's being shared with what, if that's not being talked about, then there's no context. And yeah, it's just why fucking pay attention? Because it's just going to sound like a bunch of, you know, chaos constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I think that at the end of the day, like, I think you'd hope that more and more people, rather than just being like, man, the fucking news is fake. It's not that it's fake. It's that it's being presented to you by people who don't even live on the same fucking planet as you.
Right.
No. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we're getting the weather on Mars and being told that that's the temperature on Earth.
Yeah.
But no, these people live in a completely different reality, completely divorced from the existential threats that most working people or marginalized people face. So to expect them to actually come with a real, you know, proper accounting of what's happening, I think it's just an impossible task at this point.
For sure.
That's, you know, we just see that over and over.
Yeah. And it's like that's also how you see like a story like this come out, because I can guarantee you this story happened because like a bunch of people were like at drinks after the office in D.C. Right. with a few reporters. And they were like, you know, I heard about Kamala. She doesn't do this headphone thing. And then because what? They're all boring and stupid, they all talk about it because they got nothing real in their lives. And then that's how it becomes a story.
They're like, oh, you don't believe- Google it. OK, remember when she says we did it, Joe? Wired headphones. Okay.
Yeah,
when
exactly.
She did this thing, wired headphones. You're like, oh shit, he's right.
Yeah.
It's fucking always wired headphones.
Yeah. You could feel the wine glass in their hand as they're like, oh such an interesting little beaumont that we discovered.
Did you guys read the Jeremy Strong profile in the New Yorker that everybody was like, this guy is absurd?
No, I haven't read it yet.
It's so he is like a lot, but it gave me this like very strong feeling that this one also gives me, that it's like journalism as cool kids making fun of like a dork, like where like the writer of the New Yorker profile, like
for disclosure, Jeremy Strong plays Kendall Roy.
Yeah. Sorry.
Mm. Yeah.
That should be disclosed.
Not expecting everyone to be like, oh yeah, Jeremy Strong.
Yeah. So Kendall Roy, like the piece is like he takes himself very seriously as an actor, doesn't realize the show Succession is a comedy, is like, what you mean, like in the sense that Chekhov's a comedy? And they're like, no, in the sense that it's like funny. But it's just like a lot of like quotes from the people who work with him that are like, this guy's real, real annoying. But it's also like written by somebody who went to Yale with him. So like it's like probably someone who's just like, this guy fucking, he's lame. I don't know.
Take it from me, another guy who went to Yale.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to hate, but you know, people are looking at each other through piece.
It's like, I don't give a fuck about this. Like what? I don't know. It's entertaining, like how seriously he takes himself. But I also feel like, I don't know, this idea of like the media as just the cool kids making fun of, and the cool kids in the sense of they're not actually cool, but like they're the popular kids making fun of fucking people who are dorks. Just feels, again, like, could we possibly make the mainstream media more hateable?
Right.
I think every time I think that they've like cracked the ceiling, I'm like, oh no, there's a whole nother floor. I didn't even realize it. Very cool.
Darling, hold my wine glass.
Yeah. And it's just to like fill pages and shit, because it's also like, we love Daniel Day-Lewis for that shit. This exact same thing. You're like, oh, DDL like became Abraham Lincoln. Cool.
Yeah, but
fun.
He's like a poser. He wants to be Daniel Day-Lewis. Like that's legitimately, he like idolizes Daniel Day-Lewis and like follows him around and like apprentices under him. And, but it's just like,
Wait, Jeremy Strong does? That's in there?
Yeah. He's like from the time he was like in high school, he's been obsessed with Daniel Day-Lewis and Dustin Hoffman and like all the, you know.
If anything, it just sounds like this article just says, bro, no better person could play Kendall Roy than Jeremy Strong.
That's right.
Like, and that is the argument.
They're like,
right, like, more than anything, this man's living it.
Yeah.
Good or bad.
Right.
So,
Yeah. That's the whole damn point. And how dare somebody actually like really work hard and not put everything they have into their dream? You know, what a loser. And then to succeed in it.
Yeah. I just couldn't get past that feeling that like this is like one Yale guy making fun of another Yale guy. It's like, ugh.
Oh, definitely.
I bet I wouldn't like this writer either. They
probably showed up with like the same cable net sweater to a party one time and just held it against him forever because he looked better in it.
Right. So. He's like, I should have been doing push-ups this week.
Exactly. If crew hadn't been canceled on Wednesday, my arms would be looking great.
Yeah. Instead, I look doughy. Mm.
Doughy decimal system.
Hey.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And I think that the story that everybody's kind of monitoring around the clock right now is the fallout from Christmas tree gate. I don't know what to call it, how to turn the fact that somebody lit the Fox News Christmas tree on fire into a gate thing, but they certainly are doing their best.
Yeah. It's, you know, of course, any perceived attack on Fox News, it can be completely blown apart into the new 9/11. And I think most people don't need to think too hard as to why someone would want to shit on Fox's Christmas tree. And again, knowing that this person was just like, just a straight up arsonist, really not even like, he's like, oh, that was the Fox tree. He's like, honestly, I just get off on setting shit on fire, to be honest with you. That was just kind of bonus.
Watch the world burn.
So, you know, but again, Fox immediately made it about not just some random person who is an arsonist setting fire to their tree, that this was an attack on America. And you can tell that all this liberal stuff that's happening is leading to this. So first, let us pray at the altar of Fox and Friends, because the morning it happened, they truly were just listen to their, like, sort of their description of what this tree actually stands for.
But think about it. Who, to Ainsley's earlier point, who sets a Christmas tree on fire?
It's a tree that unites us, that brings us together. It's about the Christmas spirit. It is about the holiday season. It's about Jesus. It's about Hanukkah. It is about everything that we stand for as a country. Freedom and being able to worship the way that you want to worship. It makes me so mad.
Like, well, it does. But it goes to the larger issue of safety. And we have been talking for a very long time. This city has gone south when it comes to safety. We don't feel safe when we come to work in the morning. We don't feel safe when we go home at night.
Well, maybe not because of the things you're saying on TV.
Or might have more to do with y'all than anything.
Are you going to tell me they're not getting picked up and dropped off in a black car service? Please.
Oh, but right. That doesn't change how unsafe they feel.
Right. Well, and their driver is a former. Yeah, exactly. Or their driver is a cop who was, you know, kicked off the force for like using excessive force or something like that.
Oh,
like, and that's my driver. And I still feel unsafe. This guy has a history of brutalizing poor people, and I still feel unsafe in this town. Again, I just want to say shout out to all the Jewish people. You know, Hanukkah just wrapped up recently, and shout out to all y'all. I'm sure it was fun putting away your Hanukkah tree for next year's Hanukkah, because that's what this, what a fucking stretch. Yeah.
But like just as Hanukkah is going to wrap up there, someone's going to light the Fox News Christmas tree, the number one emblem of Hanukkah, on fire.
Maybe they thought it was the last candle. Maybe they thought the tree was the last candle in their menorah.
Oh, that's fair. I mean, again, as we all know, the tree is about the season. It's about Jesus, which again means that it inherently means it's about Hanukkah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus was Jewish. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use that logic there for this Fox and Friends piece. But also, like, the coverage didn't, obviously, this was like around the clock outrage machine on Wednesday and Thursday. So later on in the day, they had this other guy come on who was like, because their whole thing is, I think they're like, we really need to be setting the table with the viewers that, like, this tree's fucking important.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
And it can't just be that some fucking guy burned it down. So I just want to hear another man, mm-hmm. Lawrence Jones, an unfortunate black man who's on Fox News, letting people know also what he thinks, what this tree fucking means, you know, to everybody.
This tree, this was America's tree. Mm. A lot of our audience come across from all across the country, and even in our international audience, to come see that tree. Mm. It was a moment of unity. And look, this appears to be a guy that was a repeat offender, that had a criminal record, and a guy that just wanted to set something on fire. So although he wasn't specifically targeting Fox News, he was targeting the country. Mm.
Wow.
Stretch it out, Larry. Stretch it out, baby.
Did you feel the wheel and the panic of letting a fact come through?
Yeah.
And he was like, no, pull it back in. Like, they tried to stop him. They were like, no, we have to say it was an attack against us.
Right. Although it wasn't against Fox News, it wasn't specifically to do with anything. It was attacking the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The 9/11 of Christmas.
100%.
In many ways. Christmas 9/11.
And then, you know, the whole time they're like, we got to rebuild it. You know, they're saying shit like, we got to build it back even bigger and better. Like, this ain't the fucking Twin Towers. But again, they're doing their darndest to make this a thing. And throughout the day, you've heard things like, about bail. Like, this has something to do with bail reform and all kinds of other shit. God. Someone fucking connected it to Waukesha and the guy who was let out on bail and being like, it's like a very similar thing that we have here. We're letting people out and we don't know what's going to happen. And using this Christmas tree to go even harder on it.
Did they? So I'm assuming they just then transitioned into a long story about the need for better funding for mental health resources in New York City. And
later in the day means the fucking creeps come on.
Yeah.
As in Tucker and Sean Hannity and them.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, y'all get it. That tree's important. Now allow us to introduce some new ideas. Maybe this isn't just any kind of attack. Here's fucker Farls Carlson or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, let's blow it out even further.
Torching Christmas trees is an attack on Christianity. Obviously, it's an assault on religious observance. By current standards, destroying someone's religious symbol would be called a hate crime. That's a category much beloved and meticulously chronicled by the Biden Justice Department. The DOJ can tell you precisely how many Qurans were burned last year in the United States, but they don't keep track of Christmas trees. Why is that?
Because a Christmas tree is on the fucking Bible, you fucking stooge.
Exactly.
For starters, nice try. It's not a religious text. It's a fucking tree.
Oh my God. Also, I think the only other Christmas trees I've ever seen burned have been in like idiots' homes on episodes of Ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Like, right.
Or like, it's like a shitty prank you'd see on college campuses is you burn out a car by putting a dead Christmas tree underneath it and lighting it on fire. Look, I've been at a few sports riots. It happens. But
man,
that's where I see it. Now, to say that this is a symbol of religion, earlier in the day, they said it had to do with Hanukkah.
Right.
So is it Christianity or is it Judaism? Is it Uchiwali or is it one Mike Tucker Carlson?
Also,
which one is it?
Also mentioned that it wasn't somebody targeting anything other than a big thing that would go up in flames really easily.
Insane. I what do you guys think the over on? Honestly, I have an idea. If anyone lives in New York, I live too far away, I can't do this. What you should do is go down to the Fox tree and make like one of those, you know, like a thin blue line flag, but put Christmas trees across the line. You're going to make so much money to those idiots. Like that'll be like this. It'll be just like after like the Twin Tower stuff after 9/11, where people are just hawking shit on the corner. Go right. Be that person. Go make that money and then donate it to something that Fox News would hate.
Yeah. Thin right. tree line posters yeah. and flags.
They're
yeah,
coming.
We need the thin tree line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sadly. So just to touch in really quickly, just on Sean Hannity, he didn't really say much. I just like whenever we hear Jeanine Pirro might be drinking on the job and yeah. doesn't know if she's talking to Sean Hannity or Geraldo. In this case, she's on Sean Hannity's show, and Geraldo is like on the dais there or that panel, but Sean Hannity is clearly throwing to her.
You know, Geraldo, what is amazing about all this is that you start your show every night with hostages in a foreign country. Well, I'm here to tell
Geraldo,
you that
that's
Americans
Sean
are now hostage.
He said Geraldo, no worries.
But it's, Sean, that we have.
Okay, sure.
Yeah,
she looked so confused when he told her it was none of it's not Geraldo.
What was the connection to she was going to say that this is our values being held hostage?
Probably that American culture. Yeah.
Right.
Is the hostage now. And you can't even have a fucking Christmas tree up at your hate network
right.
and have something happen. But not even that. It had nothing to do with your network. You can't just have a tree up and some. A person with a history of arson shows yeah. up to do a crime that they have a bit of an eye for. And then lastly, I just want to say Fox News again, this on Thursday morning after we got that round the clock coverage, they kept the outrage up Thursday morning mm-hmm. with Brian Kilmeade again raising the point of, is this not a hate crime?
It's right. unbelievable.
He wasn't eligible for the bail under these new liberal reform laws.
That's right.
But the judge could have found a way to keep him locked up if he felt as though he was a threat to society. Note to judge, he's a threat to society.
Well, here's the thing. In New York, under the new liberal policies of bail reform, arson is only a felony. You can only be held if it's a felony. If the suspect tries to harm a person or commits a hate crime. And apparently lighting a Christmas tree on fire is not a hate crime.
But it is.
Even though a lot of people could have been injured?
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Who says it's not a hate crime against us, against Fox News?
Fox News is a protected,
Wow.
Yeah.
Protected group that needs to be, we need to watch out.
Yeah.
Who's going to look out for them?
Exactly. It's a hate crime. I mean, that's the most like peak white fragility shit ever, though, too, to be like, I mean, this is a hate crime against us. They fucking they took the chain off my dirt bike.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
And siphoned the gas out of, they just took my gas can. This is a hate crime against me.
Oh my God.
They're so desperate for any Christian persecution to make Christianity like get to cosplay as a persecuted minority. Like that is what they like crave so much. I can see them actually claiming that the KKK
Hitler killed them in the Holocaust.
Yeah. Or that the KKK is actually when they burn crosses, that is because they're mad.
Jack, don't even. Oh my God.
It's too much logic. It's too much. Yeah. They can't put those little things together.
Just I preemptively got KKK upset for them
and just be like, we don't know who's burning these crosses.
Well, they don't know who's inside the hood. Like, who knows that like actual racists are inside of those hoods doing that? It could be.
Thank you.
Also, where's my dad? He said he had to do something tonight. Probably not him, though. Probably not him there. Definitely not him there. But I mean, this is just sort of part of, you know, I think the compartmentalization that has to happen when you're a conservative is because to even linger into the dimension of reality where you may need to bring a little self-awareness to what you're espousing or what your values actually mean to people that don't look like you, that's just, it's a little too far.
Yeah. How soon do you think that they're going to be able to paint that, like, when Jesus came back, he came back a second time, but, like, as Santa Claus? Like, he just got old and fat and came back a second time. And then that Santa Claus is actually Jesus.
Right, that it wasn't, like, it wasn't 3 days from the cross to the tomb. That it was actually more like, kind of like 30 years. He kind of let himself go and came back.
Yeah, I really feel like because they want to connect it because they need Christianity to get to capitalism even more directly.
And right.
They can't, you know, it'll happen. In my lifetime, Jesus will become Santa Claus.
They're trying.
Right here.
I mean, they're definitely trying. But I think that's the hard bit is like they're using this. They're trying to like sort of air draft, like slipstream behind Christianity for all of this. When Christianity and just organized religion in general in this country is just not a winning thing at all.
No.
So it just begins to sound weaker. The arguments are like weaker and more illogical and less compelling. Mm-hmm. But again, this isn't for people who are neutral and like maybe like, well, let me hear what they have to say.
Yeah.
Right. It's just for other people to be like, well, how am I going to yell about this later to some coworkers who watch CNN?
Right. Yeah. Do you think that they're going to like, people are going to start showing up and like camping out with guns defending the Fox tree from now until Christmas? I could see that happening.
Oh, there's probably like snipers already.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, you know, freelance snipers who are just being like, I'm going to, don't worry, I'll protect this tree.
Oh, they'll never get this tree from my cold dead hand, just like my gun, the other cold dead hand.
Yeah.
Well, Brandy, as always, such a pleasure having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Brandazzle. My podcast is called Lady to Lady. It comes out every Wednesday. It's a real nice time with Babs Gray and Tess Barker and fourth guest, who's real fun. I have an album called Opinion Cave. You can listen to it wherever you want. But Twitter and Instagram are kind of the big ones. I post all my shows and stuff up on there. So come on over and say hey.
Hey, boom.
And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes. So do you guys follow the Twitter account Kids Write Jokes at all?
I've seen some. Yeah.
I'm an extremely big fan of theirs. And it's somebody just getting their kids write a joke for them every day and it gets posted on Twitter. And this is the joke from a couple days ago. What did the skeleton say to the toilet?
I don't know.
What did he say?
You will get nothing out of me. I am all bones. that made me laugh like an idiot the other day. And I was like, yeah, I also feel like I'm all bones, kid. You get it. Really identified with it.
Miles, where can people find you with the tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, and also the other pod, 420 Day Fiancé with Sophie Alexander. We talk 90 Day Fiancé. The first one, it's a video, so I'll just retweet it and you have to check my timeline. But Chadish_Gambino, pardon me, tweeted, please, I want so badly for the good things to happen, Sylvia Plath. And then they show this video that's a mashup of like people like slipping and falling, but they're cutting it with like Vogue battles that you see at like drag balls. And so like when people do like death drops, they're cutting like a dude on a roller skate going back, but then like a dude hitting a drop. And it's fucking amazing editing. So I love it. And then another tweet I like is from Chanel Ganai at Chanel Ganai, G-E-N-A-I, tweeted, the African American urge to yell, I know you lying, when you witness something incredulous. I love this construction of the blank urge too. But that one was just laser guided. I love it. I know you lying.
That's so great.
A tweet I've been enjoying, Saggy Splinters tweeted me, I am crushing this workout class. The instructor seconds after they walked by me. General reminder to everyone to try and push yourselves today.
Oh, too real.
And then this is just a serious one, but straight up Xander Furness tweeted, reporter, stop reporting the defense budget and single year spending totals and social spending and 10 year spending totals. Challenge. Which,
yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah, that's
everything is about. Yeah.
Hmm.
We're not looking at. Oh, I'm sorry. We're not talking about the history making defense budget.
Yeah.
No.
What a strange convention. But let's talk about. I wonder.
$2.2 trillion over 10 years, not $220 billion a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
We are going to ride out on just some holiday background music. I've talked about my love of the Japanese genre of BGM, just background music, because it's just made for, it's like basically sonic wallpaper. You know what I mean? It's not interesting enough that you're going to be like, oh, I like this track. It's just setting a mood with instruments. And one of my favorites, BGM Channel, is the artist, put out an album called Happy Christmas Music, where it's like vaguely familiar sounding Christmas songs. So this one's called Sing Along, and it's by BGM Channel. And it's just, again, check out their music because they have all kinds of different vibes. If you just want to feel like you're at a coffee shop or whatever, they have vibes for you like that. If you want something to feel like you're in a cooking show, they have shit like that for you. So anyway, check this out. It's Sing Along by BGM Channel.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us on this Friday morning, but we are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
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 Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.